welcome to Storytime with Tom and Mike. I'm Tom.
Hi, my name is Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking.
Good to hear. And how's the family?
Everybody's doing okay. It's a little bit, you know, hectic sometimes. You wouldn't think hectic and, like, being trapped inside your house is a thing. But apparently it can be because it gets a little crazy around here sometimes. And you're oh, I got to keep all the things and the gyms and the people out of my house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're outside and there's a package and you're like, oh, did you hear that up in Harrisburg they had two people test positive? All the people that were touching the mail for the central state area.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, do I bring the mail in or do I let that stuff sit outside and just let all the germs blow off of it?
Burn it.
Well, it's mostly probably garbage anyway. Why not just throw it out?
Spills and garbage. Stuff you bought from QVC when you were on a wine binge. You don't need it.
And you know that happens all the time.
Oh yes.
Always drinking my white wine and
your
sometimes
white wine, your
after I've been to red wine and it's just so many wines. I wish that grape juice was wine because I have plenty of that in my house right now. that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was silly. Normally you hold characters really well, but you changed characters about four times in that.
I couldn't help myself. I was just doing what I could do.
You were in the flux, man. You were in pure creative mode. It was completely without a rhyme or reason.
Deedles, you stay down, sweetheart. Okay, I don't want you up here on my laptop. Or on my computer either. Ho ho, because she's a cat. She'd be on the top of my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh yes, you know you brought up news or sorry mail,
yes,
and that reminds me of an article I read today on on the coronavirus in Maryland. Police had to remind residents of this neighborhood that they need to wear pants when going out to the mailbox. apparently, something about the whole COVID-19 quarantine has emboldened some people to just stroll out the fucking door wearing whatever the hell they want or don't want to wear.
I feel like the lack of traffic in general might cause you to have a feeling of freedom like that. I mean, I live on a pretty rural area, not super rural, but kind of rural, and I don't get a lot of traffic to begin with, so I haven't really noticed a difference. But yeah. I do know that when going out into the big city, that there isn't near as much foot traffic or vehicle traffic as there shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, it astounds me. Like when I've gone onto the one of the major highways around us here and you can drive freely and not have somebody climbing up your ass and there's no traffic jams and stuff. It's just been weird.
Yeah, it's
real
a little amazing.
Off-putting a little bit, to be honest with you, because I'm so used to it. I'm like, it feels like a holiday or a Sunday or a holiday on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, well, we did have just have Easter, so I guess, you know. That would make sense, but that's not what I'm speaking of. You know.
Sure. it is a little strange. But I still note that most people, like, who live in towns or cities or suburbs or even in trailer parks, all still have to tend to have windows in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there's no one on the street or driving by, you having your dingus out while you're going to get the fucking mail is not any more okay. There's more people home to see you than ever before, you idiot. What were you thinking?
I mean, that's true enough. I guess, I don't know, maybe, I mean, do we know for certain that in this neighborhood people were gazing out their windows? I mean, did somebody drive by and notice it? Was their neighbor perhaps out mowing the grass or something? I mean, it's just either, I'm not trying to defend what they did, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, in reasoning, maybe these people were just like, I know that the police aren't responding in the way that they used to before, so maybe I will just push the envelope and see what I can get away with.
Well, here's the thing. The Taneytown Police Department on Tuesday posted this on Facebook. Please remember to put pants on before leaving the house to check your mailbox. You know who you are. This is your final warning.
Whoa, that would imply to me that there's been more than one warning, too.
There's been more than one warning, probably done remotely, so they don't have to send someone out and risk a responder. So they've probably been calling and being like, listen, your neighbors have called and called again. You need to wear pants. It's like this point, they're just putting it on Facebook so everybody knows, dude, the next time we have to deal with this, you're leaving in fucking shackles.
I hope whoever is doing it is listening. I implore of you, push the envelope one more time. Just one more time and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I don't need to get a fucking summons or anything from Taneytown Police Department. So, the police wouldn't send me a summons. You know what I mean? I don't need to get a summons from the legal departments of said town. Maybe it's not
encouraging
best that I...
this citizen to continue to break the law. Does that make you an accessory?
I think it could be argued that you are an accessory at that point. Yeah, I'm not going to say that it's going to be proven, but I can say that you could argue that fact.
Well, then for those who are dense or just really pedantic, it's a good thing you were joking.
Yes. This is something that we like to call parody.
Humor.
Or comedy. Any number of things. Let's remember that things that I say on here are not always meant to be taken literally or as direction.
Yeah. The thoughts and ideas and opinions espoused on Storytime with Tom and Mike may not reflect the actual beliefs of Tom and or Mike.
Yeah, right. And any likeness to individuals alive or dead is purely coincidental.
Unless your name is Steve, in which case we specifically are calling you out, Steve.
Yeah, you know who you are, Steve.
Yeah, you know what you did.
And I also need to preface that with Steve, it's not you.
No.
But Steve, it definitely is you.
No, it's definitely you. You shat on my carpet. And I wasn't home at the time, but I know it was you. I know it was you. And I will have my vengeance.
There's a reason why the hummingbirds won't come around my window anymore. You know what you did, Steve.
I don't understand that, but I like it anyway.
You don't have to. You just trust me when I tell you that it's fact.
Steve understands. Steve knows. Steve knows what he did.
Steve could be one of those names like Karen that is just universally understood to mean something.
Mm-hmm. But what should it mean? That's the question.
I think everybody
has...
We cited one
Steven.
I think that a Steve could definitely be a guy who shows up to your house and engages in activities and behavior that are... Boy, how do I want to put this? Not in the norm of what you would see, and sometimes scares animals and or children. And sometimes Steve could also be the guy who drinks too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not enough to pass out, but enough to be the guy who overshares, like we see in the commercials for the anti-drunk driving campaigns.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I can see that. Now I know Stevens that don't fit the bill, but there's always exceptions to the rule. I feel like Steven also has a slouch.
I don't think you can call him Steven, because Steven...
Okay, we're talking about Steve?
Yes,
well, Steve has a slouch.
Steve, yeah.
Okay, Steve has a slouch, I think.
Because I think that Steven is my very fashion-forward... gay friend.
Okay.
That's who Steven is.
He's got like elbow patches on his jacket, but they're really stylish.
I don't know that elbow patches are ever a really good thing.
But he makes it work.
I am going to tell you to sidetrack this for a moment. When my F-150 that's sitting out in my driveway, I have to put new cab corners on it. And I thought it was funny when I put the cab corners on it. I'm going to take and paint the cab corners to look like the patches on a sport coat because it's the right shape and it just feels right to me that I do that.
Okay.
So now that I've committed myself to doing it in a recorded form that will live on in perpetuity, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to get out there.
Not only are you going to have to do it, you're going to have to take pictures of it and post it on our website.
Yes. It's more than likely not going to happen until, I would say, probably the late summer, early fall that I get to doing this. So it's a little ways off. But my big plan was to make it look like a sport coat corners, because my truck is like a tannish gold color. Mm-hmm. And I think that a nice dark brown patch,
like chocolate.
Yeah, with almost visible stitching around it, is something that it's going to look fan fucking tastic on it. And it's going to be a conversation starter when somebody goes, "Dude, why the fuck does it look like that?" And I'm like, "I had to patch the metal, so I made it look like a patch." You know?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of envelops my interest in sewing and my interest in automotive all together. It pulls it all into one thing, you know?
Well, it also is an inventive and a creative and attractive way of dealing with having to patch a hole in a car, vehicle, you know, as opposed to just having Bondo just painted in the same color as the color of the car is real easy to spot and it doesn't look great. But if you do something clever like that, people will be like, "That's really cool. I wish my car looked like that."
I can tell you that the holes were – I mean, these pickups are known for having these holes in, so it wasn't a great surprise to me when it started to happen. The paint started to bubble, and I eventually ended up with a hole. And I probably 3-4 years ago, I put duct tape on the corners of my cab because both sides had small holes in them. And that duct tape to this day is still holding on to those areas. So kudos to whoever made that tape.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the company was. I might be able to find the roll if I still have it around the house. I'm sure I do still have some of it. But this duct tape has lasted through rain, through sleet and snow and hail and heat and everything else, and it's still holding on to the side of my truck. I'm actually concerned that I might not be able to get it off of my truck when I have to put the new metal in. And I don't know what that had to do with anything, but I thought I would share that because it was some amazing duct tape.
That's extremely useful in terms of if you ever need to make a modification to one of your guns or ammo.
It's true.
You know, it's always good to have duct tape. Yeah.
Yeah. This duct tape would definitely hold on. Like if I was out somewhere and all of a sudden I ripped a giant hole in my pants, I know that if I put this duct tape over the hole, well, I'd have to put it in from the inside out. You know what I mean? Because if I stuck it from the outside in, there's a good chance I may end up fusing myself to my jeans permanently. But this duct tape was fantastic.
So it's military grade.
It was used by an audiovisual company, and they didn't need it because they didn't have any more. There wasn't any carpet that this matched. Like, you know, they would put tape down that would kind of match the carpet so that it could hold cords down and stuff like that, and people wouldn't trip over them. And the color was one that they didn't need anymore, so they ended up giving me a roll of it. And I've had this roll of tape for, I don't know, probably 7 years, something like that. And military grade perhaps, because it was definitely good enough to stop people from tripping over cords and to adhere itself to carpet. And it definitely fused metal together also. And it's amazing stuff.
You know, that's the thing here that we should have let off with the beginning of every podcast.
Mm-hmm.
With ideas for things that you should actually be hoarding right now as opposed to toilet paper, because that's worthless. It's worthless. You need super glue. Duct tape, aluminum. What else is really important? Plastic, electronics.
I would really think that, I mean, just for me, gasoline and or other petroleum products like oil and stuff too.
Yeah, anything that you can use to oil your turrets.
Yeah, or your generator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Those are the things that you should be like. So, like, don't think, oh, springs are important and screws. Oh, yeah.
Naturally. So, dude, I have a ton of screws in my basement. I have a bunch because different shapes, sizes, uses, materials, always.
Yeah, yeah. You want to have your weapons and your ammo workbenches ready and stocked up with the best stuff that you can carry in your sanctuary or wherever it is you call home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
I am literally one gate and probably about 40, 60-foot area of fence away from having my property completely enveloped in fence.
Awesome. You know, so, that gives you a defense buff if you install a mod.
Mm-hmm.
You have to install a mod, but that gives you defense enough. And then you don't have to have as many of your settlers man the gates, which frees them up to do other tasks like salvage.
Well, I've also got a German Shepherd and a Pit Bull that are outside. And I also – well, not outside all the time, but, you know, a lot of the time they are.
Yeah.
And I also have two bulls, one of which has big, you know, relatively decent sized horns that are also roaming outside, and goats. I mean, I've upped the security factor of my settlement pretty significantly.
Yeah. You know what I did? I have a robot. I built a robot.
I wish I had a robot that I could send outside.
Yeah, it's a big robot. It's got like I had to do a fuck ton of work to get all the parts and all the modifications necessary to build it the way I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it was so worth it, because not only did I get to build a robot and have a whole robot building machine in my settlement, I got a hideout. I mean, I had to defeat a superhero, but, you know, you have to do these things. A superhero? Yeah, the Mechanist.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I got you.
Yeah. The Mechanist really was a pain in the ass.
See, I prefer in those cases to go for the slightly less desirable ones. Like, maybe the positioning on it's okay, but the actual hideout itself may not be the most desirable.
It really isn't that great, but it's kind of cool to have. It's kind of like that little place called Hangman's Alley. You ever been there?
I have.
In Boston.
Yep.
It's not really a very good place to settle.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's not really a good place to settle. It's more of just a place to kind of solve a mission.
Yeah.
It's like so that you can come back to Preston. I wonder if anyone is like listening to this has no idea what we're talking about by this point.
I would hope not. I think you would really have had to have lived with your head in a hole or been over the age of probably 60 to not, you know, to not have an idea.
Well, I know. We say that, but I don't know if there's that many gamers. I mean, over the age of 40. I'm sure there are, but I think that there's probably a sharp decline around 40.
See, would think that, no, but I've no, known. No, no. Yeah, I've known some people
maybe
who
55.
Were.
55.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my brother and I, we're 43 and he's 49. So, yeah. He doesn't play video games now, but people his age do. So, yeah, I can see that still.
All right.
Yeah, I can see that. Fascinating. People of all ages and different kinds of people from everywhere playing video games. Playing the video games and making everybody happy and dancing around.
But Fallout is one of the best.
Of course it is.
It's, video game franchises. And to think, I've told this story before, I came into having a copy of New Vegas by complete accident because Kmart didn't happen to have anything else that interested me in the least, and I thought, well, this looks like it could be cool. And there thus started a years-long love affair with a gaming franchise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. That and – I mean, while we're on the subject, I mean, why not have a little conversation about video games and what our favorite franchises are. Seem like a good idea.
Yeah, that seems like a great plan. Let me start with the Far Cry series, because that's something you and I can absolutely agree on.
Oh,
and
yes.
I know there will be some points of contention in this discussion. So let's start off on a bright spot. Far Cry 3, one of the best video game villains of all time, by far is Voss, who is played by Michael Mando, who you guys might know from the show Better Call Saul. He plays the role of Nacho. So he plays the role. And here's what's interesting about this character. There is a very famous speech that he does in the game about the definition of insanity. And insanity is a very, very deep subject within the game. It's underlies everything. Is the it's losing grip on reality and becoming something completely different than what you started out as. And it's your character's transformation into this psychopath, gun-wielding maniac who's killing everyone in sight, who starts out as this sort of goofball rich kid. So all that aside, the character of Voss is this really intimidating, scary, wild-eyed maniac of a character who just he is just pure chaos. And every single second he spends on screen is so captivating and so interesting that when you get to the halfway point in the game where, without spoiling anything, he no longer is relevant to the story anymore, and you get introduced to a new villain who's even bigger, you find that villain to be dull, flat, and boring in comparison. Even though he's a still a pretty well-written villain, he's just kind of like, oh, it's just a rich guy with fucking sights on human trafficking and shit. Like, who cares about that? That other guy was really cool, though, you know? Like, he tries to be a Bond villain, but he's really not. but you know, aside from that little gripe, it's still a fantastic game. I've played it through to the end like 3 times. I still find new stuff all the time, and it's just a great game to play. The rest of the series, I haven't really played 1 and 2, but and 4 was, I thought, was pretty good. I liked the character of Pagan Min. 5 I've not finished. I kind of gave up on it, remember? Yeah,
5, I finished the story to the extent that I know the ending of it, but there was still so much more to do in side missions and stuff. And I think that the character, the main antagonist in that is also really fucking good. And
yeah, I do agree with that. You just don't see enough of him, I think.
No, I think that they what's delegated a little too much to the smaller characters, who all end up being relatively easy to beat in a manner of speaking. And like, there should have been a little bit more involvement from the main antagonist, and for some reason I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But
yeah, I can't remember it either.
I do know that I tried playing Far Cry 2, and I found it to be, like, I'm sure back in the day when it came out, we would have all been like, ooh, this is amazing. It felt very similar to me to the old Splinter Cell, not Splinter Cell, oh, damn it, now I forgot the name of the game franchise. But anyways, it felt to me like it was just dragged on, and the areas where you were able to do stuff were few and far between, and it was involved a lot of driving and stuff, which was kind of pointless. Like, you missed out on a lot of stuff because of it. But I'm sure that, you know, somebody that would have, you know, that enjoy the game would have a much more objective and better review for it. But when you played the newer games first and then went back to the old ones, there's not really any reason to do that sometimes.
No, there really isn't. Before 3, it just doesn't really – the experience, positivity of the experience drops off significantly. And you're right. It's because that's sort of before. Siphon filter.
That's what I was thinking of.
By the way, the name of the character is Joseph Seed.
Joseph C. That's right. How could I forget that? It made me chuckle when I heard it.
Yeah, it's such a bizarre game and name. And I was going to say, in addition to Far Cry's various, you know, main titles, they have always put out these interesting side games for each one. So for for Far Cry 3, and I don't know if you played any of these, Mike. So they put out, for example, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which is awesome. It takes place in like a G.I. Joe slash, it's a 1980s sci-fi action movie extravaganza, voiced by what's his name? The guy who played Kyle Reese in Terminator. What the fuck is his name?
I can't think of his name, Michael but I was Biehn. Gonna say it's funny. Michael Biehn. It's funny you brought up Blood Dragon because I just happened to have plugged in or not plugged in. I just happened to have turned on my PS3 yesterday, in fact, because I was moving some stuff. Because we watched, I mean, with everybody being home, we've been watching a lot of, Hulu and Netflix and everything. And I wanted to try to take some of the strain off of my PS4 because it was on all day, every day. And I said, well, let's use my PS3 for some of that. Mm-hmm. And I happened to see that in my list of downloads was Blood Dragon. And I re-downloaded it, put it back on yesterday. I'm planning on playing it actually later. So
awesome.
It's funny awesome. That you happened to mention it because it was so much fun. That was actually the first Far Cry experience that I had.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, oh, and it made me go, yes, I gotta play more of this. Yeah, you know, so then I went back to 3.
The gameplay mechanic is fantastic.
Yeah,
they've not changed it much since 3 because they haven't had to. And that particular aspect of it in terms of the game, I guess that you call that the game engine, but I'm not a game developer, so I don't know for sure. But as far as that is concerned, like they hadn't had to change the game engine much. They've just done a couple of things. Like in Far Cry 4, they added hang gliders. They added rappelling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added – then they did their knockoff title for that, which was Far Cry Primal.
Which I've also played.
I played it for a while. I don't know why. I just couldn't get into it. I just wasn't feeling it. Cavemen aren't that interesting.
It wasn't super interesting. And the fact that that you could walk into so many different climate areas in such a short throw was kind of strange. I enjoyed it overall. I wasn't looking for it to be on the same level as the other games were. I thought that it was just a fun, add-on to be able to play. And I was right. It was pretty good. Some of it was a little bit, a little bit quirky. But overall, I thought everything I've ever played with that name on it that's been from 3 up has just been a shitload of fun. And yeah, it's been fun. Well-produced.
It's fun, but notice, for example, that the extended crafting system that they had in Primal did not make its way to Far Cry 5, and I'm so very glad for that because that crafting system was the boringest, stupidest shit. I have to run around and find what the
plants, redwood. Yeah.
Yeah. Redwood sticks, like whatever. Blue wood sticks. Got to get 5 of those so that you can build your fucking whatever it is for the villagers so that you can unlock. Oh, yeah. Okay. More shit to build. I get it. Okay. It looks cool, though.
One of the funny things, though, is that I do have a video of it saved on my PlayStation, was that if you looked close enough, you could find 2 cave people having sex on the ground, and you could stop, and I stopped and recorded them while they were doing it. It was kind of funny, yeah. I don't know, like, that was one small bit of solace to the fact that the crafting system was terrible. I guess.
Yeah, you gotta take your wins where you get them, I guess.
Well, there is a surprising number of dirty things that you can find in video games. In one of the other ones, which I'm going to bring up probably first, there was some surprising stuff that was very adult oriented and the reason why I guess kids shouldn't play these games sometimes. It has nothing to do with violence.
I'm assuming you're getting into Assassin's Creed?
Yes.
That's what I thought you were going to do.
Literally, I know you don't have the same appreciation for it as I do, which is fine, but my favorite gaming franchise ever. And I started off with that the right way. I wanted to play it, and instead of just jumping into the latest one, I went all the way back to the beginning as far as I could and played from there forward. And I think when you do that, it gives you a whole new appreciation because the first game was, although kind of an open world thing, was also very linear in the way you had to go after things. And then as you get further in, they add more side missions, more free choice, and so forth. I mean, you still, obviously, like with any game, you still have a number of objectives that you have to complete in order to advance in the game. But they made it so that you could take a slightly different path to where you were getting to. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing as satisfying as getting all the accomplishments, which I almost did on Assassin's Creed 2. Unfortunately, I fell a little bit short because I don't play multiplayer. I've made it a point in general not to play multiplayer of any of my games, where I like local play, where I'm playing against somebody that I know or what have you, or my son or something, I'm cool with. But in general, I don't play multiplayer with people I don't know because of so many bad experiences between people I know and that have had, and also for myself that I had the few times that I did foray off into the multiplayer area of a first-person shooter and ended up getting just repeatedly killed by somebody who was camping out at the spawn point.
Right.
Yeah, and I've never liked it. I don't really like online games at all unless I can play with my friends.
Yeah, that's the only way that I'll do it also. But back to the Assassin's Creed, they touch on so many things of historical significance, and whether or not they are completely accurate or not is really not important to me. I don't play video games to fucking learn a history lesson, let's be honest. I do it because I think that the area that you get to explore, and the graphics are amazing. And the areas you get to explore are just – it's insane. Like, you go into the Roman Colosseum and stuff, and it's all there, and you get to check all this stuff out. And whether it is historically accurate 100% to me doesn't matter, but they did Assassin's Creed 3 was based entirely in my favorite period in history, which is the colonial era of the United States in its infancy. It just – I mean, some of the stuff just it felt right to play it, and it just everything to me was really good in that game. And even with the DLC, which I never finished, oddly, now that I'm saying it, I'm going to have to go in and finish it with the Tyranny of King Washington. I downloaded all of it, and for some reason I stopped playing it. I don't know if I got pissed off or what happened, but maybe I did finish it. I did finish the main story of it, but there was still a bunch of side quests and stuff that I didn't do any yet. That's what I didn't finish yet.
So what do you think, now that we've both shared a franchise that we love,
mm-hmm.
We can talk more about that, but I just want to ask you, what is it about any given game that, like, when you're describing Assassin's Creed, it makes me want to play it the way you play it, because mm-hmm. it's obvious that it hits every button for you.
It really does.
It's like everything you're looking for in a video game is happening on the screen, or most everything you're looking for. So I guess my question is like, what are the commonalities between that and Far Cry? Like, what is it that really clicks for you in a video game, like in terms of mechanics, in terms of storytelling, whatever?
I would say a compelling story is one of the big things for me.
Okay.
Games that don't have stories that are compelling, and I mean, what could be more compelling than world history? Again, whether it's completely accurate or not,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna find very little, I think. And this, I think, holds true for the Far Cry games also, in that your actions have a direct correlation to the way that things are in the open world around you. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing it, you have an actual, you know, there's actual consequences to the things that you do.
Right.
And, right. But also with both of those games, you don't have to go the same path. You don't have to do a linear run through it where everything is exactly the same every fucking time you play it. Like, I could go back and play Assassin's Creed, any of them, mm-hmm. and start at a totally different point. And yes, am I going to end up at the same end point? Yes, I more than likely will, because I know the way that I play games. But there is a possibility that you might not. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of like I'm going to go to another video game franchise, Splinter Cell, where they have turned that into the first few of them, you were only a good guy. And then after that, it started to become where you could take either side of the way things went. Mm-hmm. You could either help the bad guys or you could help the good guys, and you could decide which side you went on. And unfortunately, I'm one of those homers that no matter what I'm doing, I've always got to be the good guy. I can't help myself. I can't ever be the bad guy. But I think between those two game franchises, also something that I think is you had mentioned it is something that I enjoy also, is that the gameplay doesn't change drastically from one game to the next.
Okay, like, the consistency. Like
the controls, the consistency is there. The controls are pretty close between one game and the next. And if they do change controls drastically, because Assassin's Creed did that, I want to say between 3 and the one that came after 3, which now I can't remember the fucking name of it because my brain just went blank. But if they change something drastically, they generally stick to it for at least 2 or 3 titles. They don't just change it for the sake of changing it for one, and then you get used to those controls, and you're like, all right, this is, you know, these controls are actually a little bit better. I like this. And then you get something, you know, different thrown in your face, and it makes it, I don't know, it sours you from the beginning, in my opinion. Like, there's been times that I've played games, and I'll play one, and I'll play the sequel, and I'm like, these controls are totally different, and this is already pissing me off. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I have to learn a whole new set of controls now, and this really, you know, takes away. And playability, I think, also replayability is another thing that I think draws me to those games. The replayability of them, where you can go back and play them over and over again and not get tired. I mean, look at Fallout as another good example. I mean, we both love Fallout. Yeah. You could go back and play those games, you know, a ton of times and change the way everything goes. You can go back in Fallout New Vegas and you don't have to be one of the good guys. You can be, you know, one of the bad guys and go through and at the very beginning kill everybody in the town instead of helping them out. And you set a totally different course for yourself.
Right.
So, you know, the replayability is another huge thing for me.
Yeah. You had gone to say, you had said that when the control scheme changes too much, that's a big jarring thing for you, and I agree with that. Another one of my favorite franchises, which I know you're not particularly familiar with, although I think if you were, you'd probably enjoy it, is the Elder Scrolls.
I've played a little bit of it.
Yeah, Skyrim, Oblivion.
It's another Bethesda franchise. I don't think Bethesda can do any wrong, in my opinion, when it comes to their games.
No, their games are fantastic. I mean,
they all feel really well thought out and extremely well produced
and expansive, incredibly so. So I love Skyrim. I loved Oblivion. I still sometimes will play Skyrim or Oblivion, although recently I've tried to play it on my computer and it just crashes, so whatever, I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
That's the technology creep. Your old stuff stops working.
Oh, yeah. But, well, my PlayStation 3 would constantly – my son always busts my ass because he likes Xboxes better. And I'm like, nah, man, PlayStation's got it. And he's like, well, at least my Xbox doesn't freeze up all the time. Because my PS3, every freaking time that I would play Fallout New Vegas, I would say frequently because it would freeze up at one point in time or another, invariably. And always after 35 minutes of me playing something, at least. Mm-hmm. You know, so I couldn't backtrack and go like, oh, wow, we missed a minute of it. Nope, I missed 35 full minutes of gameplay, which is an eternity.
So the game Morrowind is touted by most of the Elder Scrolls fans as the best game by far. That predates Oblivion. I downloaded it. The graphics are blocky. The UI is tiny. It's like takes up like the smallest resolution, like 800 by 600. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. And the controls are completely backwards from Oblivion. And that was the thing that kept me from playing. It wasn't that the graphics. I tried to get past that. I'm like, I can live with this. It wasn't the clunky interface. I was like, I'll get used to this. If this game is as great as everyone says it is, then I will get used to those things. I'm determined to like this.
Yeah.
But the control scheme was so horrendously different that it made learning a already somewhat uninteresting game to me really unpleasant. And I just uninstalled it. You know, so any Morrowind fans out there want to ream me a new one, I'll give you the email address at the end of the episode. You can go ahead and just tell me what a shitty gamer I am and how I'm a traitor and all that bullshit. But you know what? Fuck you. I'm an elitist snob when it comes to graphics and UI. UI is so fucking important. It has to be human interfaceable. And if you go back to that game without any nostalgia, you're going to play it and you're going to go, this fucking sucks. Sorry, you're gonna. Your nostalgia is what makes it good right now, period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I will defend that statement by saying that System Shock 2 is one of my all-time favorite games. I can't play it anymore because it's so fucking antiquated.
Period. I was going to say, sorry. Another fantastic franchise, the BioShock franchise. Mm-hmm. Since you brought up System Shock, the precursor is another one of those franchises that I absolutely love, and I can go back and play. I must have played the original BioShock and BioShock Infinite also. I know a lot of people don't like BioShock Infinite as much. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
I don't understand why
it wasn't as well received. I think it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, it's an excellent game.
I've played through that, I'm going to guess, probably about 6 times now. And wow. I played through the BioShock, the original one. The only one I haven't is BioShock 2, because something about being a big daddy, it wasn't as much fun to me, I don't think. That game was a lot harder, I think, than it needed to be. And not that I don't like video games that are hard. That's certainly not the case, but I was expecting more of the same from the first BioShock, and then when I got that, I was kind of like, "Well, this is interesting from a standpoint of, you know, now you're a big daddy, I get that, but it just wasn't as enjoyable to me. I didn't like it as much."
I agree. Another thing that I think we should do one more that we can both agree on, and then we should agree on one that we both hate, and I think I already have one in mind for that as well. So the next one I wanted to mention that we both love, and for all the same reasons as for all the other games that we've mentioned so far, I think, is like Assassin's Creed, all these, is Dishonored.
Oh, my God, yes.
Every single game in that series has been good. The mechanics didn't change. The gameplay didn't change. It just gave you more options to branch out. And it does give you the option not to use magic at all,
I've never done it, but I really want to.
Yeah, that needs to be like my hardcore run because I'm terrified of it. Because it completely changes the way you think about every map. Because when you're playing that game, every map is like all right, so I'll blink to here, and then I'll drop down on this guy, and I can shadow kill him, and then I'm going to possess that rat, rock throw that thing, blah, 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 blah. Now you're just a dude. You don't have that power. That's a whole different game.
I have played through the original, and I've done no kill run the whole way through, and I've done never been seen the whole way through, which is – I can't even tell you that – well, seriously, the number of times that I would go, oh, there's no way I'm making it through this, so I'd save quick. Mm-hmm. And I would end up playing the same part of the same level literally like 30 fucking times in a row before I finally figured out how to make it through. I only did it for the badge, dude. I wasn't doing it like a straight playthrough. I would stop and go back to save points and stuff like that because it's my opinion. I don't know how else you do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless you're some kind of master player, I guess you kind of have to save scum. It comes with the territory. But, I mean, we've watched videos of these guys who are, like, impossibly fucking good and fast and, like, lightning reflexes. Yeah. And I'm, like, looking at this and I'm like, I'm not good at important life shit, let alone fucking video games.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not even this good at my own fucking job. I'm not this good at my podcast. And this guy's just – all it is a video game that he's playing. And he's good at all of them. Everyone he does is good at.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking savant. But – you know, we could go on about bad games or great games, but one of the games that I think we can agree
is just tremendously fucking awful. Damn it, I actually forgot which one I wanted to bring up.
Uh-oh. So while you're thinking about that, have you played any of the Just Cause series? Oh, yeah. Dude, that game series is so fucking fun.
Yeah, it's nonsensical madness, and it's great.
Yeah, it might, and again, this game is a lot more linear than others because you pretty much only have one mission in the thing, and that is to destroy everything that your enemy possesses and take it over. But it's still so much fun to do.
Oh, I got it. I remember it now. Get ready to get bent over the barrel on this one, because I know you're going to agree emphatically. Dark Souls.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Fuck that game, right?
That game is fucking impossible.
I will give it this. If I were good at video games, like really good at video games, and if I were a much more patient person and a strategist.
Yeah, I think it's the lack of patience, not the skill in video games, because I think the both of us are pretty decent gamers. Once you get into the swing of things and everything, we can both be pretty good with stuff, especially if we like it, if we're into it.
As long as we're not commentating it on the time commentating on it at the time, I would say that's probably pretty true.
But the patience factor is for me what killed this game completely.
Well, that and it's trial and error, and I am not big on trial and error. I just don't like it. I don't like that kind of gaming. Oh, I see. You got to hit this guy. Which one? I don't remember which one we played. I think it was Dark Souls 2.
I'm pretty sure it was 2, yeah.
But all I know is the very first boss is this big dude in a weedy looking park in like a fountain or something. And you hit him with a sword, or you give him a sword. That's right. You give him a fucking sword that he proceeds to beat you to death with in one hit.
Yeah. Over, yeah, quite literally.
And over and over and over again. It never stops. And you're like, oh, finally you hit him enough fucking times that the dude turns into, oh my God, a giant writhing mass of what the fuck.
Yep. That's exactly the way. It's funny you should mention not liking the trial and error thing, because that's exactly how I did the never being seen run. Mm-hmm. But I think that if it's a game that I find that's fun, it makes it a hell of a lot easier to do trial and error than if it's something that is absolutely, I mean, I'm sure there are people that will disagree to the end of time and say that game is awesome, and we're just pussies because we couldn't play through it or whatever, and I'm fine with that. Yeah. You're right, I am a pussy that couldn't play through it because it was fucking terrible in my opinion.
Yeah.
And way too hard to be enjoyable. I don't like getting my dick slammed in the door repeatedly playing a video game, and that's exactly what this thing did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like how are you supposed to get good at something when it brutally punishes you every time? Like what am I, fucking Daredevil? You know, like just beaten by the fucking blind guy until I finally fucking get good. Like he just keeps hitting me in the fucking knuckles. I'm not made for that.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You should just be miserable in all of your gaming experience for weeks or months until you get good at it, and then you'll have the satisfaction of knowing A, that you wasted a shitload of time, B, that you took a beating unlike anything you've ever experienced in video games, and I don't know what C is because I'd never get to that point, so I can't even tell you what it is.
Oh, C? C is judging other people for not being good at the game.
I guess you get to do that. I guess you get to do that,
You get to do that. You get to be a fucking elitist prickwad. So, you know what? So, you know, if that's your shtick, you know what I mean, and you want to email us to tell us that we're a bunch of lame-ass casuals, filthy casuals,
noobs, just remember, posers, you know.
Just remember that nobody likes a douchebag like that. Nobody cares about how good you are at a video game.
In the grand scheme of things, unless it's making you money, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference.
Exactly. So shut the fuck up. You're pathetic. That's all I have to say. Email me at storytimewithtomandmike@gmail.com and tell me how much I suck. I want to hear from you. Oh, I want to hear from you. Bring it. Bring me the fucking noise. You know, I'll sit here and tell you how I played The Sims 4 for an hour, and I'm still not a fucking casual because I killed all my Sims. But
I really couldn't stand that for the time that I played it. I was like, this is like playing a game of real life in your real life, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
What, The Sims?
Yeah.
The only thing good about
it, I can get up and go eat a fucking sandwich myself. I don't need to do it on a video game.
If you're the kind of person likes like building like stuff and designing stuff, it's a lot of fun to build the houses.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun to build the houses, but the gameplay, the actual characters and all that, aside from me making goofball characters and killing them by putting them in a swimming pool and removing the fucking ladder, like aside from that.
I don't know why that struck me as so funny, but goddamn it, that's funny.
It's true. It works. Well, in the older versions, I don't know about the new version, but in the older versions, that's one of the tried and true methods of killing your Sims is to put them in the pool, order them in the pool, go into build mode, take out the fucking ladder, and they swim around till they die.
They're like fucking two-legged goldfish.
Yeah. Yep.
God damn it, that's funny.
They don't
do
anything to save themselves. They don't climb out the side of the pool. They are stuck in that pool, and their little moodlet thing, the little diamond over their head, gets redder and redder and redder, and then it goes black, and the fucking Grim Reaper shows up and fucking cuts them, and then they're a ghost.
Now you make me want to play The Sims.
I think that when we get back to doing video game commentary, we should run through The Sims and just try to be as ridiculous with it as possible.
That sounds like a good idea. Let's keep on the same vein here, and instead of talking about more recent games, let's roll things back to gaming in its infancy.
Gaming in its infancy, okay.
I'm going to go with a console. You may choose to go with PC. Pole Position is literally, still to this day, I can sit and play it. It's one of my favorite games, and it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pole Position, Barnstorming, I'm obviously going with the Atari 2600 games and stuff, would be my favorites in that realm. I was never a big Pac-Man guy. Everybody knows that E.T. was the worst video game that was ever made.
Mm-hmm.
What would your go-to be on one of
on
these?
On the Atari?
Either on the Atari 2600, you could even go to the, you know, to ColecoVision or even hell, something that you had to program yourself into a Texas Instrument or something like that. You remember the Texas Instrument where you had to put the tape in into the tape player, and then it would go through the whole program, and then you'd have a game to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that. No, I know what my I didn't have the ColecoVision, so I had the Atari 2600.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first computer, I guess, console, whatever you want to call it, that I owned. And it was the first console, because the first computer I owned was an Apple.
Okay.
An Apple One, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Yeah, so the first console was definitely the Atari 2600, and my game of choice would have either been Pitfall.
I like Pitfall.
Yeah, Pitfall was fun because it was like, what's going to be on the next screen? That's what I loved about it. I loved the mystery of it, and I loved how if you went to the underground, it would take you to a different place. And mm-hmm. in my mind, there was a destination. There wasn't one. It just kept going for fucking ever.
Yeah, much like in any of those games, they were so open-ended. You just play it for eternity. Play it till you died, and you had to restart, and there was no save points.
Yep. Kind of like real life, except maybe not a restart. You just keeps getting harder and faster until you die.
I guess that depends on whether you believe in the afterlife or reincarnation. But anyways.
I suppose so, yeah. The other one was this cowboy shooting game, where there were cowboys on opposite ends of the screen, and they each had a gun, like a six shooter, that would shoot a block that was probably about, I would say, on a television screen, probably about a half an inch high by half an inch wide, you know, like giant bullet. There'd be cacti, and sometimes there'd be a wall that's moving. Sometimes there'd be cacti that are moving. Sometimes there was like a a rolling thing that looked like a wagon wheel. And so those things would block your shot, so you had to shoot through them. And the idea was to be the first person to shoot the other guy and kill him. So like you would shoot a hole and then you'd aim and shoot another hole and then you aim and shoot another hole. And now there's a passageway through which to fire your bullet and hit the other guy. And meanwhile, the other guy can move up and down the screen. So there was some challenge to it.
Mm.
And it was just fun. It was a great two-player game. I'd sit and play it with my brother for fucking hours.
My brother and I used to play Atari hockey like that. With the, like, knowing now that we can go and play an NHL game and the graphics are literally like watching it on TV. And back then you had basically one player versus one player. And if you had turned, I don't know if there was even penalties on it. I don't remember anymore. But like you could check each other and then like your leg would go all crooked and the other guy could skate around you and stuff like that and just score all your goal at will. Oh my God. My brother and I had so many fights over that. And we had like a little championship belt it was like a Boy Scout belt with like a little thing that we made that was taped over the front of it, that whoever won the hockey tournament got to be the all time champion and stuff. I mean, that was back in like the purest days of playing video games. We were doing this kind of stuff. And it was still, even at that, you know, in its infancy, would still cause fight between siblings that would cause blows to be thrown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, gosh, you made me think of the other game that other game system I had. About a year later, my dad brought home an Atari, and I don't know what model it was. I think it was like an 800 series or something like that, but it had a keyboard on it. And instead of taking, and like you flipped it open and put the cartridge in and pushed it down, and then you had an eject button. So it was a little different from the other Atari. Otherwise the inputs were the same. The games were, you could play the other Atari games on it, but you could play games that you couldn't play on the other on the Atari 2600. So I got all these, and one of the games that I was playing was a game called Miner 2049er. Which was this really simple game where you had to walk on every square in a given board and climb ladders and get stuff. But the main thing was to have walked over every single piece of ground all across the level for every level. They would like fill in. It would be like sort of opaque, and then when you walked on it, it would fill in the rest of the way. And there was this background radioactivity. So the longer you went, the more dangerous it was, and eventually you would just destroy. You'd get be destroyed. It would go like that, and you would just turn into dust. And the sound was very important to you. Like it was part of the warm fuzzies I get when I think about this game. And there are these weird radioactive guys that were walking all around that kind of looked like raisins.
happens when you get radioactive. You turn into a raisin.
Yeah, and if they run into you, you get destroyed. So it was a lot of fun. And each level got more challenging. And I remember there was one that had elevators, one that had these things that stomped down, one that had a cannon that you had to shoot yourself out of. It was wild. And what was so important about it being on this particular console is because I had a keyboard, you could punch in a code at the beginning. The first cheat code I ever knew of, my dad found it on some magazine. And he's like, oh,
you couldn't look him up on the internet, yeah.
Nope. He found it in some magazine. And because he ran a software company back in the day. And so he says, okay, you got to punch these numbers in right now. And I do it. And he's like, now press the button of the level you want to try. All right, 9. Cool. It's totally different. And I get to start on this level.
Nice.
Just great game, you know, and so much fun. And games aren't – I don't know if that game would keep me interested now, but at the time, man, I could play that fucking thing for hours.
There was a game called something Quest. I can't remember what exactly it was, but you were basically a knight and you had to go through these rooms and you had to find like a reactor and you had to find like a reactor and then you had to go to this other room to do something. I just remember that it was just tedium where you're just going back and forth, and you had to basically learn a pattern. You'd be like, okay, I have to go over three rooms and up four rooms and then to the left for two rooms and then up a room and then right, you know, and that was how you beat the levels basically. I would be so frustrated and pissed off playing that right now. It wouldn't even be funny. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, dude, I used to sit there and play that shit for hours.
Yeah. Yep.
And another thing, because we are getting a little low on time here. I'm thankful for the existence of Radio Shack when I was a kid because I killed my Atari 2600 controllers probably in about 2 months. And Radio Shack had an endless supply of cool controllers. Like, I could use the joysticks and stuff. There was never any – I mean, you couldn't map buttons back then and say, okay, well, I want this one to do this and I want this one to do this. It was basically the fun of trying to figure out which button was going to do what when you started the game off initially. But right. I always had, like the pilot-type joysticks, the pilot stick ones that had the suction cups on the bottom so I could stick it on the desk and then I could sit there and play my video games with it like that.
Yeah, I had one like that. Yep.
I had many like that because I was hard on joysticks, man. I would play. I guess it was because I was playing so much. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, you play with it too much. That's what happens.
It's true. You might not go blind, but you will get hairy palms.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that's not true. And it reminded me completely of a story that I had with an old Sega Genesis and Sonic the Hedgehog. But that's definitely a story for another time.
Visit us online at www.dembeans.biz. That's DEMBEANS.BIZ. For all your story time with Tom and Mike needs, you're going to find pictures of stuff that we post that is, you know, are related to episodes. We're going to post occasional pictures of beans because that still amuses me to do so.
And it's relevant to the name, you know.
Mike's going to get some training here on how to post shit, and then he's going to start putting who God knows what on there.
Might even be some shit, to be honest.
I hope not. But, you know, whatever you got to do to control your freakish desires. So you can also find all of our social media presences there and different ways for you to follow the show on YouTube or on your podcast application of choice. And like I said before, if you want to hit me at Storytime with Tom and Mike and complain about at gmail.com and complain about my terrible gaming skills, please go ahead and do so that I can delete your email. Fuck
hey,
you.
Hey, feel free to comment on mine too. I won't delete your email, but I probably will, you know, bring your name up and talk about you on the podcast.
Oh, for maybe. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll make you famous.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Only in the little fucking universe that we exist in right now.
Yeah. The very small universe in which we currently habitate.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, I want to thank you all for listening to Storytime with podcast with Tom and with Mike. We sure hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed giving it to you.
Giving it to you like a little bit of pepperoni maybe on your pizza pie there or something, you know? You get that good Italian stuff. Bye.